Familiar text for us, but I always see something new every time I read the Word of God. I was thinking that coming up on 20 years I've been a pastor, I was doing a little bit of math. Probably over 3,000 messages I've preached in that amount of time. 3,000, man. That's so, you know, you cover the bases more than once a lot of times when you preach that many times. So it's a lot there. But anyway, Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, and they came over unto, I'm sorry, I said Matthew, it's Mark. Mark chapter 5. I'll get you on the right track. MK, MT, I can't read my own writing sometimes. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word now, and I pray now, Lord, that you take our distractions away, that we can focus on you. Your word, Lord, allow your word to speak to our hearts today. Lord, I pray you fill this place with your presence, fill us with your spirit. Lord, if there's one or more here lost, not sure about their salvation, I pray they see their need today. Lord, we know you're still in the saving business. Lord, you're still on the throne. Lord, you have all things under control. Lord, we're thankful for that. And Lord, so I pray now you use me to preach, Lord, and speak to hearts. And we'll thank you in advance for what's going to take place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And the title of the message this morning is Under Control. And we see a demon-possessed man. And there's some people that don't believe that demon possession is a real thing. I've seen a few people, probably a few church members, I wasn't real sure, that wasn't possessed by demons from time to time. But it was a real thing. It is a real thing. And it was very prevalent when Jesus first came as a man and walked on the earth. And I've heard preachers and theologians say that they believe as we get closer to the day that Jesus is going to return, that demon possession will be a more common thing than we perhaps know it now. But we see this, and there was a lot that went on in that text, and I just want to look at three different forces that were at work in the text, and those same three forces are at work today. The very first one, of course, we know about is Satan. Satan's at work in the world today. Have you ever wondered, when you think about demon possession, how in the world... Now, when I was a kid, how many of you that's old as me, or at least, you remember The Exorcist came out? You remember that movie? Man, that thing came out, it gave me the creeps, Jack. I went down to see it, and for some dumb reason, I went and bought the album that had the soundtrack to that thing. Brian Oldfield, I think, was the guy's name that wrote that music. And he had that thing playing, and it had that creepy... I would stand, but nobody was home. I had it playing, and I was standing by the front door. It was the creepy little song that went along with the movie. I would stand by the front door, because I figured if anything happened, I was going out of there. Why did you listen to it? I don't know. It wasn't that smart, right? But here's the thing. when we saw that exorcism, we think, man, I mean, I've never seen anything just like that. But I want to say, you ever wonder how does somebody become possessed by a demon, by the devil, man? How does that happen in somebody's life? Now listen, whether, you know, here's one I want you to think about several things on that point. Everybody, listen, we're all either doing God's will or Satan's will. Everybody falls in that category. I can say that in the church, out in the world, doesn't matter. Everybody in the world is either doing God's will or the devil's will. And somebody might think, well, you know what? I'm not doing the devil's will. I'm not doing nothing. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian and you're doing nothing to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're doing Satan's will, whether you know it or not. You are doing Satan's will right there. And so, I want you to think about this. Everybody's doing somebody's will. Now, if you're saved, listen, you can't be, if a saved person, if you're truly saved, emphasis on truly, the Holy Spirit of God's dwelling in you. Satan or his demons are not coming into you and throwing out the Holy Spirit of God. It's not happening. You're not going to be possessed by a demon if you're saved. So the number one safeguard, the only safeguard to being demon possessed is to be Holy Ghost possessed, Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart, right? But if you're not saved, listen here, if you're not saved, you have got a flashing neon sign saying vacancy, open, ready for occupancy, come on in. Now, is everybody lost, demon possessed? No, not everybody's lost is demon possessed. Back to the question: how do you get demon? Well, you start getting into sin and more sin and falling into sin. And the farther you go into sin, the farther you yield yourself into sin, you open yourself up to the possibility for demon possession if you're lost. Now, we know Satan is a thief and a destroyer. We've seen that. And he wants to rob you of some things. He wants to steal things from you. That's when we look at this man in our text, and I'll get back to him in just a second. When we look at that man in our text and look what all was going on in his life, start thinking about what he's missing in life. We start thinking about that. I'll talk about it in a second. When you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, Adam, Satan talked Eve into, and Adam was in part of it too. He talked them into stealing from God. God said, listen, you can eat all the fruit in the garden. He said, but this one you can't. And then Satan came and said, well, God really say it, and God, you're not going to die. And he talked them into it, and they stole from God. Well, when he talked them into stealing from God, then Satan stole from Adam. And all of a sudden, he lost his fellowship, he lost his peace, and he lost his joy, and he understood what sin was. He lost his innocence. He lost that all in the Garden of Eden. And that's what Satan does. He steals peace and joy and innocence. When you look at this man in our text, the Bible says he ran around in the mountains. He ran around the tombs. He was out of control. He was bound with chains. They tried to bind him. He could break them in that. And he was cutting himself with stones and ran around amongst the swine. And then later we see he was clothed when he sat at the feet of Jesus. So he's running around naked or mostly naked. I'm not talking about the world today. I'm talking about this guy right here. That's what we see in the world today, though, right? And so, he lost his family. I mean, his family couldn't be around him. He's living out. He's an outcast of society. His family couldn't be around him. His friends. He lost his home. He lost his decency. I watch those shows on television sometimes, like I forget if it's Discovery, National Geographic or something, and they do these things about drugs. And I was watching these ones, and people get addicted to all kind of drugs, meth and heroin and stuff. And it was this one guy really stuck out in my mind. And the guy was, he's limping. You can see just looking at him, he's not healthy. His health's down. He's a heroin addict. Man, he's wearing sweatpants and that's all he's got. And he's living in a cardboard box. And they interviewed the guy. And the guy said, man, he goes, I was a Wall Street stockbroker right on Wall Street. He said, man, I had it. I had the money. I had a wife. I had a house. I had a family. I had the Mercedes Benz. I had it all. He said, now, man, he goes, I'll just live for the next fix. I'm going out panhandling, trying to get enough money so I can take that dope and stick it in my vein. You know what happened? That man, Satan is laughing right there at that. And there's millions of people like that. Satan is laughing at that guy because he's lost his wife. He's lost his family. He's lost his home and all the nice things of life that, that he had. I mean, not that you have to have the material things, but he certainly lost his wife and his family. And with all that, he lost his, man, he didn't have no peace because he was always worried about where he was going to get enough money need to get the next fix before that one wore off. You know, so he had no peace. He had no joy, man. And then when the interview's over, man, there he goes down the street. He's going down the street because he's got to go find the guy to get some more dope because what he was doing was, you know, wearing off. And so Satan had robbed him from all those things right there. And so we see this guy, as I said, he's running around naked. I tell you, that's the problem with the world today. The farther you get away from God, the more clothes you end up taking off. Man, it's not tequila making your clothes fall off. It's sin making your clothes fall off. It's Satan making your clothes fall off and you run around. And you ever notice when people get saved and they get right with God, you know, right off the bat, you know, the dresses get a little bit longer. They start putting a few more. I mean, later on, we'll see it. I might forget it, so I'll tell you now. It says that when Jesus got a hold of this guy, he was sitting at his feet and he was clothed. Well, he wasn't wearing a thong and a bikini either, man. I mean, he was clothed, brother. He had clothes on. He was fully clothed when he sat down there. That's a fact. It sounds funny, but that's just the way it is right there. I know you don't believe it, but that's just the way it is. And so, you know, he lost his self-control. He didn't have any control over anything. Another thing we see that says, and this you might not have never picked this off, and all the times I've read it, I never thought about it that much. But in verse 5, it says, always night and day, he was in the mountains. And it says he was in the tombs, and he was crying and cutting himself with stones right there. And in the mountains, in the tombs, and crying and cutting himself. None of it sounds good. It means his peace was gone. Now, I want you to think about this, the tombs. And, you know, this world right here, listen, we're born to die. From the moment you're born, You know, I know we think we got to over the hill. There's a point in life that, you know, we think like, and there is. I mean, there's, you know, if you live a normal life, there's a point, and I'm there, that there's more behind than there are in front. But not when from the saved point of view, I got eternal life, so that's not necessarily true either, but for this body anyway. But we are living, this world, this whole earth is a big graveyard. Cemeteries everywhere. There's no shortage of them. They're everywhere. And so we're really living on the earth. It's a graveyard. We're living in tombs. And without any, if you don't have hope in Jesus Christ and eternal life, man, I don't know what you'd do. I'd go out of my mind before I ever died. I know that. So we see that, but it also, you know, we see that. We see it says in the mountains. Now I know it's talking about he lived in physical mountains, but I want to use it in a metaphorical sense. I know that this is what Satan does to a lot of people. He takes them and he pushes them, pushes you, or a lot of people, he pushes you into a place where there seems to be a lot of mountains in your life. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about problems. And I'm talking about situations. It might be relationships. It might be jobs. It might be finances. But there are just a whole lot of things that pile up in your life. And what Satan likes to do, he likes to push us into those places where that's all we think about. All we see is the mountains. And you know what happens when you're that person that's going down the road like this and you just go by everybody and nobody, you don't see anybody, you don't talk to anybody, you know, you're driving in a daze down the road, you're just not even knowing, noticing anything going on around you. Why? Because your mind is just thinking about your problems. You know, and what happens there? You get that old sour look on your face, and you know how you are. And you know, people, and there's all kind of extremes you can be to where you get depressed to the point where you can't get out of bed in the morning, and all the way to where, you know, you get angry with everybody, you snapping at everybody that you know, because Satan's doing that. He's taking you and pushing you to this place. That's why this guy's living out in the tombs, and he's living out in the mountains, man. Satan has pushed him to a place. Like I say, health, relationships, addictions and things, impossible situations. But I want you to know with God, there is no impossible situation. Just keep that in mind. But if you're not, you know, sometimes we get our focus in the wrong place and that's all we can think about. You know, whatever you think is a big situation or an impossible situation, that's a mountain. And I'm not saying, listen, God uses them too. God puts things, you know, God gives us adversity in and puts it in our life sometimes so we'll grow and things like that. But I know Satan, he's an imitator. He doesn't put you in them situations to grow. He puts you in them situations so that you get discouraged and tears you down. He wants to tear your life up. And then, you know, a lot of people, that's how they get into them addiction. They got these mountains in their life and they can't cope with it. Instead of turning to Jesus, what they do, they turn to dope or they turn to alcohol or they turn to an extramarital affair or whatever they think's going to get them through, you know. I used to have a boss I worked for. That's what he always said. Whatever gets you through, man. Whatever gets you through. It could be anything. But whatever gets you through. And so, and Satan's using that, see? It says that he was crying. Crying's not, that ain't tears of joy. I mean, there was no joy, no peace, and pictures are running around out of control. And, you know, that's what the world, really, when you think about that, most of the world is doing it, looking for joy, peace, happiness, whatever, living in the tombs, living in the mountains, and they're not finding things. It says he was cutting himself. And there's people, a lot of young people we find, finding out about that. People do it, cutting themselves. And, of course, psychologists say it's just an outward sign of an inward emotional issue. Well, what was this man having? He was demon-possessed. Where was the demon living? On the inside. He was having an inner emotional issue. And so that was his problem. It said that it was legion. Legion was over 6,000. 6,000 demons, man, tormenting this guy day and night. You know, you and I can only imagine what was going on in this guy's head. And day and night, you think about it now. Look what's going on in the world today. I've told y'all, when I grew up, man, the TV went off at midnight or 11 o'clock, man. Test pattern was on, man. 6 o'clock in the morning, it came back on, and they ran the flag up, and you did the Pledge of Allegiance, and they did a little daily bread thing on television, man. That was how it was. And places closed down, actually. 7-Eleven actually opened at 7 and closed at 11. I know you find they didn't have no all night nothing. I mean, there wasn't nothing. But look at the world that's going on now. They say, well, New York City, boy, the city that never sleeps, man, the nightclubs are open all night long. What are you looking for at 4 a.m. in the morning? Huh? Running around trying to find some more alcohol? Huh? Trying to find a woman? Trying to find some man? Trying to find a, woo, we're going to party, man. You know, you got to take some kind of dope because you're so wore out your body. Your body can't even do it, man. We're flying, man. We're running. And then you're going to, what are people looking for at 4 o'clock in the morning? I mean, boil it all day. We just want to have fun, right? We want to have fun. Well, let me ask you, are you finding it? Huh? When you wake up on Sunday morning and your head feels like the size of a pumpkin, huh? Like somebody's driving a nail through the top of it with a sledgehammer. Oh, I'm having fun, right? Holding on to the commode down there on the floor, heaving your guts out. You having fun now? No, man. But that's why the world is like it. Everything now. You got stuff 24 hours, man. Internet, television, nightclub, Walmart don't even shut down, man. You can go down to Walmart if you want to at 3 o'clock in the morning. See what China has shipped on over. Check it out. Be the first to find out. I mean, listen, man, that's what's going on. I mean, so we see that. Well, we see this with Satan. And I want you to know something, too, about that. We see it in the text there. That you know what the demons know about worshiping God? It said that they ran over there and they fell down and worshiped. What was it? In verse 6, but when he saw Jesus far off, this man ran. He's demon-possessed. He couldn't have done it if the demons wouldn't have done it with him. And worship. And that, to me, is scary. That means that demon-possessed people could come to church. Yeah, that means that the scary part is some folks think this, oh man, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to show up at church and we're going to sing some songs and the preacher's going to preach and all that. And because I'm doing that every week, everything's okay. Boy, if there's ever a lie that Satan has spread any more than that one, that's one of them. Just, you know, don't worry about it, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that sinful life you live in the rest of the week. You're down there, you're worshiping, everything's okay. Listen, I'm telling you, man, this guy, he was ahead. This demon-possessed man was ahead of a lot of people at church because it actually said he used the word worship. See, the Bible tells us that the demons have faith, but they tremble. They understand about God. But this guy here wasn't saved. Listen, Satan's going to lie to you, tell you everything's okay. And guess what? Satan will come to church with you if you're lost. He'll come with you. He don't care. Satan doesn't care if you're here. He don't care here as long as when you leave here, you don't do what God tells you to do. He's fine with it. He doesn't have a bit of problem. That's why you can get here. See, he said, because you know what? I'm going to let him go on there. Satan would try to kill you if he could before you got to a worship service anyway. He would. But Satan really don't have to worry about the majority of Christians today because all Satan has to do is say, well, they can go on there and worship because they ain't going to live for God anyway. They're not going to live for Jesus. They're not going to witness to anybody about the Lord. Let them go. Let them sing. Let them do whatever. It doesn't really matter. Right? Whose will are you already doing? They're doing my will. What do I got to worry about? Huh? He lets them come on. Listen, start trying to serve God and see if Satan don't start chunking some darts at you, brother. Listen, if Satan's not throwing fiery darts at you, if you're not getting blasted from the gates of hell, I'm telling you, you're not living for Jesus. Because if you are, now listen, we can overcome because we got Jesus on our side. But I'm just saying, man, the darts are going to be coming. You're going to have to get them. Huh? You're going to have to get them if you're living for Jesus. So we got Satan at work. Satan was and is a force at work. And then we see society. That also shows up here. Society has the answers for man's problem. You know what society's answer for problems is? Let's just bind them up in chains and fetters. We got prisons, man. We got prisons all over. Well, I'm getting ready to go out to Colorado later in the week, and out there near, not too far from where we are, halfway between, it's where there's three Supermax prisons. Supermax prisons are the worst. Man, you can't, they're out, you look out there, this is the part of Colorado that don't look like what you see on the postcard. This is the deserts and the little, it's desert and hot. Looks like there's a rattlesnake every 3 feet. And you can just see the heat waves rising. And way out there in the middle of nowhere, it'd be a big old complex out there with all that concertina wire shining in the distance. Supermax prison. That's where they put the worst of the worst. That society, what did they do to this man? They tried to bind him in chains and fetters. That's what we're going to try to do. Like, that's going to really make a difference. Let's put him out and put him on the fringe. You know, and we make laws. Listen, we lock up people who break the laws. And guess what? We put them away. We lock them up in chains. And you know what? For 90%, I don't know what the percentage is. I don't want to say, but I know this. It don't work for the majority. It doesn't work. What happens? Most of the ones in prison, you go and interview them. Guess what? They've been in prison more than once. Why? Because going the first time didn't work. It didn't work. They just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. So is that the answer to the problem? That's not the answer to the problem, is it? It doesn't work. So society, that's the society's answer. Let's just lock them up, put them off, and get rid of them. Listen, I mean, we ought to have laws. I'm all for it. Laws do, there are restraints and boundaries, and that helps a lot of people live right if a person wants to. Listen, you're driving down the speed limit, signs out there on the highway, right? If you want to obey the law, you got a limit right there. What's your legally allowed to do? If you don't want to obey the speed limit, you don't give a hoot that the speed limit says 70 and you're doing 125. You don't care. That's obvious. You're already doing it. So that's just the way it is with every area of life. But, you know, so Satan really starts to work. All the laws and jails in the world is not going to work. I'll give you an illustration. There's something. This is in the headlines. It's something new. Colin Kaepernick, a lot of you are familiar with him, quarterback for the 49ers, a big hubbub on there because he don't want to stand for the national anthem. Well, yeah, that's fine and dandy if you don't want to stand for the national anthem. It's a free country. That's part of the rights that we're fighting for. But, you know, this is the way I look at it. I'm not standing for the national anthem till things get done in this country, you know. Oh, so all the murderers and all the criminals are going to say, gee, man, hey, buddy, man, Colin, we're just going to go kill this guy, but Colin's not standing for the national anthem. I think we ought to just repent and go ahead and not kill nobody. Is that going to work, really? I mean, everybody's going to quit committing crimes and murders and all that because Colin Kaepernick isn't standing for the national anthem? I mean, good night, man. That isn't going to work. You know, what Mr. Kaepernick needs to do is, first off, he needs to get saved. And then what he needs to do is, instead of sitting and whining about how things are going in the country, get off of his backside and go out and win people to Jesus Christ, and that will start making changes in people's lives. Man, listen, man, just saying, I want to make a protest and take a... It's not going to make a change in somebody's life. Introduce them to Jesus, man. That's what makes a change. I don't even like churches sometimes. They say, well, we wish the Lord would hurry up and come back. I wish the Lord would hurry up and come back so I don't have to deal with all this. We're going to have on New Year's Eve, you know, like he's going to come on the first of the year. New Year's Eve, we're going to have a watch night service and with speed to light. Speed to light. We want Jesus to hurry up and come back. So they all huddle up inside their little castle, their little church, and they sit on their backsides and they eat pizzas and say, Lord, let's pray that the Lord will hurry and come back. Man, it's all backwards. Get out there and win the last person to Christ that's ever going to get saved, and he'll come back. I mean, that's how you want to speed the light. You can't, everybody huddles up and worries about all the problems, and we're not doing anything about it. And so, you know, sometimes we sit around whining about things that need changing when we're the ones that really need to do the changing. Amen? Amen. I said amen. 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 That's right. Okay, now the last point, the Savior. The Savior, you know, we see Jesus, he shows up. Jesus shows up. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And what I like about when Jesus shows up, man, he just takes control. You look at the whole story, man, this guy's out of control. Jesus shows up, he takes control. I like that. And he came to this man. Now I want you to know something. This guy that was demon-possessed was not running around in the tombs and in the mountains looking for Jesus. Jesus came looking for him. I want to tell you what, if you really boil it all down, anywhere, I don't care what, how you got saved or where you showed, you might have come to church, just finally got, but God dealt with you first. That's it. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were hiding from God. God came looking for them. When this guy was running around to him, Jesus came to him. When I got saved, I'm going to tell you what, I was sitting on my duffer at my house, eating supper, getting ready to go mow the grass, when the preacher and some guys showed up at my house when I got saved. I wasn't saying, hey, gee, I just need to go down to church, man, because I got to get my life straightened out. No, I didn't say that. And he came to him. I like that. And, you know, he came through a storm. If you study the story ahead of that, he came through a storm and he came in love. Society had cast this guy away, but Jesus came to this man. And he came to, the Bible says that he came to seek and save that which was lost. So see every one of you here, if you were lost, listen, Jesus was looking for you. And if you're not here if you are here and you're not saved, Jesus is looking for you. Man, nothing in life happens by accident. I believe that. I know that God's in control. And so, the mountains weren't a problem for Jesus. The graveyard wasn't a problem for Jesus. The legion of demons wasn't a problem for Jesus. But, you know, all those things to us look like big things. But it wasn't a problem for Jesus. And, he spoke, and by the power of his word, the Bible says that them demons came out. And they wanted to go. They talked to Jesus. They wanted to get cast into swine. And you know, what does that mean? Jesus allowed them to go into swine. They didn't care. Them demons said, listen, we'll go in a man, we'll go in a swine. We say, what's the big deal about that? That means that the demons don't think any more of you than they do a pig. Huh? You're on the same level as far as they're concerned. Enter a pig, enter a man, don't make it, it's all the same to them. But Satan get a hold of you and turn you into a pig. I'll tell you that right now. He'll turn us into it if he gets us. And the next time we see him, it says that he was sitting. He's at peace. It says he was clothed. As I said, close you get to Jesus. He had clothes on. And that's also a picture of humility and decency. The world could use a lot of it. And he was in his right mind. Listen, man, if you're not saved, you're out of your mind. If you're not saved, you're just out of your mind. To run around in this world, people are getting shot, man, left and right. You go out here and, you know, I'm afraid to blow my horn at anybody in the car, even though I'm aggravated with them sometimes, because I'm thinking, man, they probably pull a gun out and shoot you. Man, I mean, you know, you don't know what, man. I mean, I get out of Walmart parking lot, man, my head's on a swivel, Jack, because I'm ready to go in self-defense mode. I might have to dive under a car or something. You don't know. Man, I mean, it's every time you turn around, there's somebody, something going on. You're going to walk around in this world lost. You're out of your mind. Man, this guy here, he's in his right mind. I want you to know this, man, not everybody was excited about his salvation, though. Said they told them owners of them swine about it. Man, they came down there to see it, but they weren't happy about it. All them swine done ran off the side of the mountain, done drowned in the sea. And they wanted Jesus to depart. Isn't that, this is society, see? Society don't care if you get saved. It's you and God. Don't worry about what everybody else out there thinks. Don't worry about, well, boy, I might get saved, but I'm just worried about what it. Listen, I'm going to tell you what society thinks. They think the almighty dollar is better than your salvation any day of the week. They think that them swine is better than you getting saved. And this man not being demon, everybody knew about him. They think that those pigs, they were aggravated. They weren't happy that this guy got saved. Don't expect a big parade from Buck Cannon down here either, man, when you get saved. Larry, you didn't get one, did you, when you got saved? They didn't have a Larry Falls Day parade you down Buck Cannon. Everybody is not going to be happy when you get saved. Just mark that down right there. Everybody in heaven will be. Jesus Christ will be happy, and everybody that's really saved will be happy. But this world out here is not going to be happy about it. They just want to know if they can get another dollar off of you. Right there, huh? Listen. I'll say this in closing, a couple things about that. Listen. Don't be guilty of, like these folks here, putting a dollar ahead of God, church, soul winning, those type things. Look at this man, verse 18, look at this. When he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed that he might be with him. Where did he want to be? He wanted to be with Jesus. Man, he wanted to be where Jesus was. And I'll tell you this, Jesus had a mission for him. He said, no, listen, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go home to your friends, tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. Man, listen, I want you to go and be an evangelist. You know what? He went and he had a testimony. He said, listen, I want to go around and tell all the people what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm going to tell you what, that's our commission, man. If Jesus has done something for you, if you don't have nothing to say, maybe it's because maybe Jesus really hadn't done nothing. You know, maybe you're not saved. Listen, man, because he wants us to go out and tell everybody, and I got something to say, what Jesus did for me. If you're saved, you should have something to say too. If you're not, why not get saved today, man, and you'll have a story to tell at the end of the day today. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart today, you lost, or you're not sore about your salvation, you want to get that matter settled, why don't you come call on the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 29, hymn 29, At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. There by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing mighty grace unknown, and love me. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glory. The mighty Maker died, leaving the creature sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all
day. Amen. Amen.
All right, appreciate you paying attention. Tonight, I, every time I say this, it backfires, and I know it's a holiday weekend, so I'm really setting myself up for a failure, I guess.